Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. Could we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, I'd like to do some quick introductions. My planning board members are Don DeCar, Dan McCoy, Dan Knuth, Gabe Greco, myself, Patty Goldsmith, our town attorney, Bill Schmidt, our engineer, Al Swierczyk, Josh with Pathstone, Jason with Pathstone, Joe and Bethany with SWRB, and the attorney for Pathstone is
Betsy Brug.
I don't know if there's anybody else in the group that we should introduce.
We also have a Casero representative, Amy Dake, Casero Associates.
Okay, excellent. Okay. All right, so this evening's meeting, we're going to allow about 4 to 5 minutes for comments. Don DeCar will give you a kind of a notice when you're getting close to the end of the time, or a little heads up on the time limit. If a speaker is interrupted, we will kind of stop the timing until the interruption is stopped, and then the speaker will be allowed to finish their comment. The comments tonight are limited to the Pathstone site plan application only. This is not a discussion about the entire project that A.R. Arntz has proposed. Pathstone only. If you have comments, please address them to the planning board. We're going to try and get through as many of these comments as we can. We will maybe stop and let these guys jump in and answer some questions. You already have a frequently asked question flyer that they produced that should help a little bit. We would like to try and tie this up in about two and a half hours. If it goes a little longer, we'll just have to see where that takes us. We are not making a decision this evening on the site plan application. There's going to be too much information coming in that we still need to listen to. So it will definitely be extended until at least the October meeting. I know our 62-day window is, I think, the Monday before that, but quite frankly, if we could just get a couple extra days from you guys, that would be great, because I don't want to schedule a whole other meeting in that time period. Okay, I do.
Okay,
so I did receive two email comments from some residents in the town. The first comment was from Lynn and Brian Toussaint. They were concerned about the negative impact the project will have on their property value, and that was the extent of their comment. The other one was from Trista and David Sroy. It's S-G-R-O-I. They were concerned about the negative impacts on emergency services and schools. They state that the tenants will not pay taxes, and the taxes will, their town taxes will increase due to the construction of the apartments. And then the other comment was, nor do we want this type of clientele in our town. And those were the two email comments I received. And with that, I have the sign-in sheets, and we're going to use the sign-in sheets to call names. You'll have, again, about 4 to 5 minutes to state your comments. Is there one more blank copy down there?
Yes.
Okay, could you leave one on the table for anybody who may come in late?
Sure. You're still seeing your
comments.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll start. The first person signed on to this sheet was Colin Roberts.
No,
okay. And excuse me, some of the handwriting is not great. I think it's Ariel Green. Does that sound familiar?
Neil,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
My one is very quite simple. We have an election coming up. This ought to be brought up for referendum right then and there. And you won't have to spend all this time going through this process, save everyone on both sides enough time, put it on this coming election for referendum, yes or no, whether Deerfield wants a government-sponsored ghetto in Deerfield. Amen. Simple.
Okay. Yes. Do
you
have any comment on this as far as the referendum? No.
We cannot put this out for a referendum. It's not permitted under New York state law.
Huh?
It cannot be put out for a referendum under New York state law.
So it's going to be like the Wynn Hospital we had down, and if we had a referendum, that would never have occurred down there either.
I can't speak to Wynn Hospital.
Okay.
I'm telling you what the New York law is with respect to this project.
Okay. All set, Mr. Green? Okay. Rosemary Pastorella?
Yeah, my question is, well, why is that a law to the attorney? You can't do a referendum with...
The New York state law only outlines what a referendum can be used for. This is the decision the board's making is not subject to a permissive or a mandatory referendum, so it cannot go out to the voters. That's New York state law. That's not town law. That's New York state law.
Well, I was wondering about the tax increase. I mean, is that going to be addressed with the other people's concerns tonight?
Again, I'm not sure why there would be a tax increase, and that would certainly go through either the town board or the assessor's office. That's something, again, that we don't have purview over. We're just strictly site plan. Okay. That would be a question for the town board and for the assessors. Do you have any more questions?
No.
Okay. Next person is David Fresney.
Yes. My question kind of goes along with hers in the sense that since these people aren't paying taxes, they're not paying county tax, they're not paying school tax or anything like that, and if you're going to put additional strain on the educational resources and the town resources, how is that going to be covered?
They will be.
Increases in either school tax, county tax, or local tax.
They will pay tax.
How?
They'll be assessed.
They're rental properties. You can't tax them. I own rental properties, and you don't get charged tax. The tenants don't get charged.
But you pay taxes as a property owner. Yeah. Yes. So, Josh?
So our development will pay taxes. So
at what rate?
So we're projecting about $62,000 per year in increasing there as the rents increase.
Is that per unit or per...
For the development.
That's it? And how many units do you have?
So there's 65 units and
we pay more than that per household now. So how are you getting away with that number of units paying so few taxes?
So there's legislation that was passed about 20 years ago.
So basically we have no say.
No, it's not. It's not that you have no say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, the next person is Jean Longo.
No questions, thank you.
Harry Longo.
No questions.
Okay. Oh boy, can you help me out with that one, Dave?
David, is it Smith?
Yeah, I don't have a ton of comments. I just want to say I don't think it's fair that a handful of people are going to impact the town for the next 40 or 50 years. It should be left to a vote.
Yes.
I don't see how it's fair that four or five people that... I don't know how you guys are benefiting from this, but the town potentially not benefiting from it. We have no say in it. We're stuck with a 20-year law. I mean, half of us in this room don't even have kids that are 20 years old yet. So it just doesn't seem fair. No comments.
Okay.
I'm sure you don't care.
The next person on the list is Fran Barris.
No comment.
Okay. Carl Clark.
Sorry, you didn't ask. Thanks.
Okay. Bridget Benicasa.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
My question is, what sort of things are being done to keep the noise level down? We live on just the opposite side of Route 12, where it's like Stephen Swan Humane Society, Paul mm-hmm. Woods, and then our street. A number of people from our street are here tonight, and we can hear racing going up and down the highway every night, just about. If it's not raining out, it is so loud until 1 o'clock in the morning. Is there something that is going to be done so that some of that noise, I'm not saying of the racing, but just noise from the development can be reduced or mitigated? located.
Are you talking about during the construction phase or during the resident?
During the residential phase.
During
the residential phase, I can speak to that.
Thank you.
As a civil engineer, we have been working with a bunch of landscape architects, and they have come up with a landscaping buffer that serves as both a visual buffer and also a noise buffer.
Okay, understanding that we have acres of trees between us that are all landscape buffers
that do nothing. Do you mind me asking where in relation, are you north of the site, west?
Almost directly across the street.
Directly across the street.
East.
Okay.
East.
East.
East, okay.
Yeah,
east of the street, we have landscaping that's going to be on that eastern edge of the parcel, and it's going to be landscaped visually buffered from the road as well. So
it's a visual buffer, but not
what's a visual buffer?
So
please don't interrupt.
I'm sorry, but
no. The only way we're going to get through all the people is
a noise buffer as well. Okay. And in general, where we've located certain features on the site, like a generator, transformer, that's more towards the areas that are screened by already existing abutting parcels that have vegetation in that area.
Okay, so all the acres of woods that are already there.
We're taking some down, but we're also planting in some. We're being
on
some
my
as well.
Side of the highway.
No.
We're putting.
No.
I understand you're not taking them down, but they do very little to buffer. So I'm feeling like three rows of trees is really insignificant.
Okay. All set?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yep. The next person is Pat Coppola.
Just a one button. It says that all the units are going to be in one building. It's not going to be multiple buildings, but like four or six units in each building?
No, it's going to be one building.
One big building?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Coppola, did you have any more questions?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Joseph.
Oof.
Zaleski?
I think so.
Okay, we're going to take a stab at this. Joseph Zaleski? No comment? Okay. Okay, Mary Rose Moon?
Yeah, I just was wondering why senior housing wasn't looked into when this whole mess started.
We actually have. That was one of the first correspondences we had with the Past Stone Group, was to express the need that we need senior housing in the area, and that would also go along with our master plan. We've constantly been talking about senior housing with the Past Stone Group.
So our development does include one-bedroom units. Although there's not an age restriction, we would expect seniors would be eligible for some of the one-bedroom units.
That's not what I was asking. I want 55 and up. I wouldn't want to be living next door. Well, no offense to the younger generation. I'm just old now. I'd rather live next door to somebody who's quiet. And 55 and up is usually the head of the farm, you know? So I don't understand why. That's just the whole mix of nothing.
No. I think that's only Gwen. Connors?
No, I'm looking at this one here. Oh, forgive me. There's one I cannot read.
I think it was me.
Okay, we'll skip down. We'll skip. We'll continue to go, and then at the end.
Oh, yes.
No, that's not
Rick.
There.
Does it look like Rick?
No, I don't think so. If I don't get you, we'll.
Was it Park?
I don't know. Okay, so the next one would be Gwen Connors.
This has already been addressed. I wanted to be able to vote on this, but apparently that's not an option.
Okay. And the next person is Tim Connors.
Yes. So what is the exit plan for this housing? Is it going down Laney Road and then down Trenton?
So the existing driveway that we've proposed is coming off of the private road, which stems off of Mulaney Road.
It stems off of Mulaney. So where do they go to get off of Mulaney? Which way do they go?
They would go.
They can go either way.
Yeah, they can go south.
Because right now, I exit Evergreen.
Okay.
And sometimes I sit there for almost 5 minutes to get out to the traffic. Now, if we got housing, we're going to have more traffic. We can't exit our evergreen. We only got one exit, an evergreen. So we're going to be parking our car there, and the buses are going to be parked there too, because they can't exit either.
Sorry, what buses?
School buses.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Okay, sir, did you have a packet that was available? I don't know if you got one or not.
It didn't say anything about.
Right now it's an email comment. She's going to send me a formal letter from DOT. They had the package. They looked it all over, all the traffic studies, and DOT has signed off on it.
Do they live there and know what the traffic is today? Because I know it is. And also,
The traffic studies probably don't extend all the way over to Evergreen. They only.
Do we have a traffic study?
Yes.
Yep.
Can we have it?
It's on the website.
Yep.
The other thing is the mayor department, fire department, and Deerfield are volunteers. Yeah. They have EMS. I have children, and if something happens, I worry about fire department is located someplace else, taking care of somebody else, and I'm not getting service anymore. So I just, volunteer fire department, those are all volunteers, they're not getting paid.
Thank you. Okay. The next name is Karen Preset. I think it looks like Preset, Preset. Karen? Okay, Jason.
Preetsch?
It might be.
It might be.
Yep.
It might be.
No comment.
Okay. Let's see.
I just don't want to be done, that's all. You're killing the wilderness. You're killing the wilderness.
Okay, the next couple is Tom and Patty Manna. Yeah, actually, we have a whole series of studies that have been given to us about the economic and impacts of crime. That they're actually in favor of low income housing impacts the community in a positive way.
In a positive way, for generations to come.
Yeah.
I mean, I also feel that where I work in the public as health care. And I see a lot of individuals who come in, they're low income, and they're good people. I heard a comment earlier by somebody that said we don't want that clientele here. But I can speak for, the description of the individuals that you said would be located in these housing units. They're our neighbors. And we're not making $100,000, $200,000 each one of us. There are daycare workers in our neighborhood. There are retail workers in our neighborhood. There are custodians in our neighborhood. And I don't see an increase in crime there. Nobody can argue here that we don't need affordable housing in our area with daycare, and you're offering that. So I see this as a positive.
Okay. Thank you.
And I do have one more question.
Sure.
Is there any statistics?
Please don't interrupt.
Are there any statistics that actually show that our homes will decrease in value, because what I've read, they would increase.
Yeah, we haven't seen any, no. Okay, please. Okay. Okay, please, please.
Order, please.
All right.
Okay. All right, yeah. Okay, Austin Goldsmith Latchett.
Yes, so good evening, folks. So sorry. I'd like to get right to the point. I support the Pathstone Project wholeheartedly. I agree with all the comments that you just heard. Thank you so much for that. I support it as a member of our community who sees the potential it has to unlock untapped economic opportunity in our town, to mitigate aging trends that undercut our senior care, and most importantly, to provide affordable housing for young and potentially low-income individuals. And I'll say it again, for the people in the back, as much as for the board in the front. I am glad that this project offers affordable housing to low-income individuals. Is low income a bad word? Do we know these folks are bad people? Some opponents of this project have argued, as we've heard, that these residents, these new residents, bring crime to our town, bring chaos to our streets, and their children will flood our schools. But these claims have been made with no knowledge of the new residents, except that they may be poor, as if to be poor is definitionally to be criminal. Yet when I think of people who benefit from affordable housing, or who have low incomes, or who are poor, none of which are dirty words, or any reason to be ashamed, I think of a young craftsperson starting their career in a tough economy, of a mom-and-pop couple who might have lost their savings in a scam, or a health scare, or a recession. I think of a single mother or father devastated by loss and medical debt, and struggling to raise their kids on their own, suddenly alone. Would these people not be poor and well? Would these people not qualify for the type of housing that we're discussing here today? Let me say it again. Low income is not a bad word. And these folks are not bad people. I could send the board, in fact I have sent the board, a plethora of studies indicating that low-income, affordable housing benefits both the immediate low-income recipients.
5 minutes is up.
I don't think it is.
Higher. Not higher.
What's the
please,
time?
No interruptions. 2 minutes left.
Thank you. And I'll take my 2 minutes, thanks. So, where was I? First of all, this question isn't just about the studies that we can cite. It's also about a more fundamental question. How do we treat the stranger at our doorstep? It is undemocratic to ask the stranger to jump through hoop after hoop. We would not require our friends and neighbors to jump through as well. Does this board typically convene to ask if new family homes will come with backyard swing sets, or to ask whether a new development will come with a park, or to ask whether a white picket cul-de-sac in Bramblewood will also come with a security officer? No. It is undignified to deny the stranger welcome merely because the stranger might find welcome elsewhere. Does this board typically convene to decide whether a VA clinic or senior care center should be built simply because they might be built elsewhere? No. And most, it is cruel to ask the stranger to justify the worth of their children. Would we ever ask if a family with twins or triplets should be allowed to attend the elementary school, though they might bump up the size of a class by 2 or 3, simply because of that effect? No. Yet we're here today to ask those questions of a stranger, and those questions have been asked simply because today's stranger may be poor. But let me, I'm not an actor, I'm just convicted, but thanks for the support. But let me say it again. Low income isn't a bad word, and these folks aren't bad people. As a matter of fact, for the faithful in the room, faith calls us to welcome the stranger. Think of Leviticus 19:34. Did my time run out?
Not yet.
No. So
we don't need preaching.
I'm not preaching.
Okay, please don't interrupt. Let him finish.
You're welcome to the comments that you'll have. Leviticus 19:34 says, you shall welcome the stranger as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. But it doesn't require tremendous faith for me to sit here and say what I've said today. It only requires that I remember how I would like to be treated if I were the stranger, and that I support that treatment in kind. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question.
No.
No. My last name is Goldsmith Latchett.
Are you related to anybody in this room?
Of course, I'm related to the chair right there. And
okay, I just—it's a question. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not.
You live in Deerfield?
Okay.
It's a question.
Yes, it does.
Yes, I do live in Deerfield.
You pay taxes in Deerfield?
Of course.
Wow, that's a lot.
Okay, this is an inquisition. He had his right for his 4 minutes.
Okay.
Having answered questions, go.
Okay. The next person is Bob Greco. Okay. Phyllis and George Corey?
No.
Okay. Win and Mike.
Is that with Gino or Leo?
No, that was George Corey. Lynn and Mike. Calipagino.
Yes.
Thank you. I don't want to kill anybody's names.
Trust me, it's been killed since I was
okay. All right.
We live very close to this project, so we want to say we are opposed to it, and we share the same concerns as most of the people in this room have. The strain on our emergency services, our infrastructure, and schools. Now, after I have time to go home and read this, I'm going to have a ton more questions for the town board meeting. However, I can already see, no, there are no units in the building reserved for Section 8 housing. You're making it sound like this, there will be no Section 8 at all in here. You have to accept Section 8, beware, government-subsidized housing development. So it seems like this right here is a lot of fluff. And once we all have time to go home and read it and digest it, you will be hearing more from us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Laura Ramo.
I work with the seniors, and working with the seniors, you get to know their income level. A lot of them love Deerfield, and they want to remain in Deerfield. The problem is we don't have any senior housing that helps them have an apartment, because once you get older, you find you cannot get your yard mowed or your plowing done without it costing you more money. And if you're just $40 above what they consider low income to get your SNAP card or get the heat, then you're out of luck. So I'm really pushing that we get some kind of senior housing. And you know, with the low income, I know my own grandchildren have gone through the problem with finding affordable housing when they first started off. And of course they wanted to be independent. So I'm for the low income, and I'm hoping there's a good group of senior housing that would be part of it.
Thank you. Okay, Karen and Scott Lowell.
No comment,
no
comment. Yeah. Lauren Pepperella.
Things I just said, I mean, there's a lot, but one of the things I wondered is this a state-funded project? And, like, do we know how much the state is it completely state-funded, or is there private funding that's going into it? Because that makes a big difference. I get it that affordable housing is necessary around, but, you know, just as a reference, they just built an affordable, or they just revamped something down in Utica, and my understanding is it was $100 million. To do this building, and it's a you know rate income you know low income type of thing that you know voucher system to get in or you know you have to have a certain amount of money that you make or don't make to get in there, $100 million. So my thought would be if I did $100 million and I divided that up by 65 units, that would be a $1.5 million home for each one of these people that might need a house. Now, I'm not saying they didn't need to have my house. I can't afford that either. But if they, why isn't there a consideration if people want to build their lives for the state to fund that type of a system, give us some money for a down payment on a house, let them build a house somewhere in Deerfield with all this land that people were trying to sell for solar power and all that. Those people want to sell that land, build up houses. Then you've got ownership, and the town gets tax revenue. $62,000 a year for a complex that big that will push on the infrastructure, that will take away some of our emergency services, or not take away, but stretch them. Well, $62,000 is not going to help supplement those needs. The law enforcement that we might need just is patrolling. We barely have it as it is. We can't even, you know, pay the county to give us more. So I'm just wondering why that and I know it's a great community and it, whatever, but I would, if I was, I lived with my in-laws in their basement for a year to save up and to buy my first home. You know, I gave that up. And I'm not saying people can't have that option. but I think I loved my home. You know, it was a village home in Whitesboro, didn't cost me a lot of money, but it was mine, and I had that ownership to it. So I don't understand why the state is pushing so much of these complexes that will be great in the beginning, and maybe for 5, maybe 10 years, and then, you know, the current ownership and management says, you know what, or, you know, pilot program's over, whatever, and they sell it, and now you've got some other out-of-state, out-of-country owner that doesn't take care of the property. We, you know, and that's the concern, I think, and at least mine, is what's going to happen 10 years down the road? Is it still going to be managed by Pathstone, who has their program in place, and they're not going to, you know, they're going to manage their properties properly, or is it going to turn into something like, I hate to say it, like Buck Apartments in Whitesboro, which has been sold and it's fallen into disrepair, and you know it's not a good living environment. So those are things that I guess is my concern. I don't want to see our stretch, you know, our taxes go up in order to, you know, cover things when $62,000 a year. I don't know how much that's going to benefit supplying those that infrastructure that we need in our town as it is, and to help out with that unit. That's my main concern. I mean, I have a billion of them, but I'm sure other people will have that. That's not
Miss?
Jason, do you want
to? I kind of got skipped. My wife went. And then
right.
Went.
I signed us both that one.
Can I go back to me when you're done?
Hang on 1 second.
All right, thank you.
Do you want to address this woman's comments first?
Yeah, so we plan on managing and owning the complex. We'll actually enter into a 50-year agreement to do just that.
Sorry, 50-50.
So who's the agreement with?
So it's with our funders.
So the people that own the company, you're in agreement with them? Are in a contract with them to maintain it?
No, we do the management and ownership. Pathstone is a not-for-profit, so we call it an affiliate, but Pathstone Management Corporation, who is Pathstone, will manage the property for the foreseeable future. So we have about 2,500 units in this, you know, part of upstate New York. So we're well equipped to do management, and we intend to manage and own development for the reasons she articulated.
And a rebuttal on that, just because I probably only going to use 3 minutes in my talk. Quick. So the 62, as the town done an evaluation of this increase in the tax base that we're going to get from this project, is that going to be sufficient to carry the services that are going to be needed? The $62,000 a year increase in tax, is that going to be enough to manage the plowing and the traffic and the highway project and the fire department needs and the EMS needs and law enforcement needs and school needs? Has that been vetted out?
Well, the school district and law enforcement are two separate things. The only thing, the road will not be town maintained. The stormwater will not be town maintained. So the only thing really would be any impact to the fire department. And as far as we can tell, the fire department has no concerns with this. So, Mike?
I got a question. It's really on both sides. Is the vote that the people make, like you guys and the planning board, you know, everything, is that public record? Like
certainly.
Who voted what side?
Yeah,
so
certainly.
We can, if you're for it or whatever, you can vote people out or vote people in
certainly.
The next time.
Everybody will
know which way everybody
yeah,
voted.
But the planning board is an appointed board.
Okay, I just wanted to know
yep.
for like, you know, the elected positions, if we would be able, mm-hmm. when their vote comes up, if we would know what side they were on.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
basically what I'm asking.
Absolutely, yep. Okay. David Husney?
Yep.
Because it could happen again. This could, there technically could be another project that is added later on somewhere else in Deerfield.
Correct.
And
yeah,
that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. So what happens typically if it's not already a permitted use, it will go to a special use permitting
mm-hmm.
along with site plan. In this case, it was a permitted use in the zoning district, so they've only had to come up with the stuff for the site plan review.
Gotcha. Thank
okay.
you.
Yep. David Husney.
Yep.
Yep.
So what percentage of the AMI does a prospective tenant have to be at or below to qualify for a unit?
There, yeah, there's three different tiers of 30%, 50%, and 60%.
So they just have to be below 60%. So just so everybody knows here, 100% AMI on that account, specifically Deerfield's 89,000, 80% AMI 71.2, and 50% is 44.5. So they'd have to be roughly 50 grand or less in annual income to qualify for ownership. Anybody that's making over $50,000 as a household would not qualify for this program or to be a tenant. So that means if you had two people making 25 grand a year, they would not be able to qualify as a tenant for this unit because they would, as a household, make above that 50% AMI. So just to put it in perspective, as far as the income qualifications that someone would need to qualify for one of these units.
Okay.
Does anybody, do you have to show
Please don't interrupt.
Yes, there's a rigorous income certification where
they have to be working to qualify for.
They have to have a source of income. W-2 is not the only source of income that's allowed.
It could be SSI, it could be the ERE.
So public
David, are you done?
No, I'm not.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
But it's basically, I do mortgages for a living, so I come up against this because New York City has Sunny Mae mortgages. They have a home ready, home possible. That you have to file, you have to be at 80% below AMI limits in order to qualify for those mortgage products, which just led me to answer this question because I assumed that it was going to be far less than the 80%, you know, that is required to get a mortgage, which it is. It's 60%. So that'd be about 50 grand. So, you know, it's tough when you have clientele, you know, it's nothing wrong with being poor or anything like that, but I mean, where are you making 25 grand a year? You know what I mean? So it's basically probably people that are already on the system that are just going to benefit from the system again. And basically, we're just incentivizing people not to work. There are going to be people that are disabled. There are going to be single mothers that have special needs kids that need to, you know, be home and maybe can't work because they have to take care of that. But we're essentially incentivizing people and rewarding people for not working. And that's the problem that I have just overall with this project, with the state, with the federal government. It just, we're incentivizing people to not work. And I think that's a problem.
Okay. Thank you. The next person is Mira Osmanis.
Yes.
Hi.
A lot of things are addressed already. And those are my main concerns, like increasing tax property, traffic, value of my home. Mm-hmm. I am that person that value the help. I come from a third country, and I do understand all about helping, but this is big no. I don't want a project in my backyard. There is, to me, this sounds like a opening a can of worms. We have that little volunteer fire department. With this, I feel like that we're going to lose the department. We're not going to have anybody because they cannot take that many calls and take care of that. And that's just one of the things that come to my mind at this point. I didn't get a chance to prepare because I just find out about it. I wish that we were a little bit more informed of this. And like the lady next to me said, when I get a chance to study this a little bit more and find more information about it, I would come up with other stuff at that meeting. But to me, it's like, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Oh boy.
I think it's
Dennis.
Yeah. I have a couple concerns and one question for you guys. How many like residents do you think will approximately living in this complex or building?
Approximately one per bedroom.
It's all one bedroom, there's not a bigger house or anything?
No, there's a mix of 1, 2, and 3 bedroom units. So the anticipated average is one person per bedroom. I don't know the total of bedrooms. But it's about 100 total bedrooms in the property, so there'd be.
So you bring out about 100 people in the area?
Yes.
All right, I was just wondering, and then obviously you guys can't do nothing about it because people could walk around whatever they want, but like I have a worry. So I live on Laney Road, actually right next to the bar, so that's gonna bring a lot more drunks in my area. Baltimore have a lot of issues with as well to begin with, and then on top of that, I go to SUNY Poly, I go to class, I go to school. That building's not very locked up or hard to get into. All the doors are open stuff, and I'm just worried we're going to be running around, maybe after my class, if we do anything, could be a potential shooting. There could just be so many more concerns considering that I have 100-something people right behind my class right there. So that's my concerns with it.
Okay,
Can I just add one thing real quick? I have another concern that I have, and nobody can prove me either way. When these people are there,
explain to me when some of those kids start walking, crossing the Highway 20 to go to Walmart because of the transportation issue and get killed? Who's going to be responsible for that?
Well,
that's a good point.
That point has been brought up as a safety concern. But again, so the process with the planning board is we look at pretty much the technical aspect of it. DOT and other agencies have signed off on this. I don't know where that is. That's a gray area. We, you know, you just don't know what to think about, you know, the safety issue as far as children from the apartment walking to Walmart or where have you. So it's an issue. We're trying to manage it as best we can, but there's really no good answer for that one. The next. I'm looking at this. It says Alex. Maybe or Alexis?
No comments.
Oh, no comments. Okay, good. Okay, we got the Alexis part out of it. Okay, Herb and Laura Inman.
Hi.
Hi.
We're here mainly just to hear what people have to say. I want to say that Deerfield's been really good about putting everything online. A lot of these questions can be answered if people go on the website. And the paper that we got today has been on there, which I read before I got here. And
do you
have anything
to say?
We're here mainly just to, for information.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Has to say.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you for your transparency on the website.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Patty
Terrence. Yep. Yeah, there's transparency. But what I want to say is there's a lot of people here, obviously, very displeased with this whole situation in a beautiful town. Nobody wants to add a housing project. I'm sorry. It's just, it's a fact. And I want to know how that's going to benefit the town of Deerfield, because we can't even get our roads fixed now. How are we going to spend all that time with the project and still continue to take care of our town?
Well,
tell me that. How are you going to take care of our town? Because I got a pothole that would take out my bike if I was going to ride.
Well, as far as the infrastructure is concerned, again, they have a private access road. We have no responsibility to maintain their driveway.
Yes, but how is this benefiting Deerfield, our lovely town? How is it going to do any good for us? I want to know.
I mean,
guys, can you give me an answer? What good is it going to come? Is going to come to the town of Deerfield?
So, I think I take a lead from a lot of what was articulated earlier, but, globally speaking, we're in a housing crisis right now.
Single-family housing.
Excuse me, don't interrupt.
So,
this woman has the floor.
I think relative to the town, the rezoning process, again, it's been said, is a permitted use. We're about a third of the permissible density, so we're not bringing in the most dense housing project. We're also bringing in a child care center. So that in and of itself, I don't know what else would benefit the community more. So we serve people, and I enjoyed your commentary about criminalizing low-income people. So my background, just to give you a feel, I grew up in a very blue-collar household. My father worked for a printing company, and when he was laid off, it was tough times. We had insecurities. Programs like this weren't available where I grew up in the southern tier. They're available now. There's a push to bring housing to all communities, not just urban centers.
Okay, wait, stop right there. He's talking about one bedroom, one person per bedroom. That's BS. I'm sorry. You're not gonna have one person per bedroom. 100 bedrooms, 100 people, I doubt it. You're gonna have 3 and 4 and 5 people in one little two bedroom apartment.
So the maximum that we can put into a bedroom is 2 people.
Right.
So we would
that's
not have 5 people
wow.
in a
yeah.
2 bed.
So okay. They can double.
Okay, please don't interrupt.
So
that's
200 people at least. And that doesn't include the little rug rats that are going to be
yeah.
around. And I'm sorry, but I'm older and my Rugrats are gone, okay? I like my quiet little neighborhood. I don't want people.
Right, I want to, you know, that there's going to be elements to this conversation where there's an agreement to disagree, right? Like a philosophy. So I want to respond to your question with all due respect. I don't think I can provide an answer that will change your philosophical outlook.
Probably not.
Yeah, and we also have a portfolio of 3,000 units, and looking at the portfolio, we look at how many people live in each unit size, and that's how I determined my answer. That's what we see in our units is an average of one person per bedroom.
Okay, please don't interrupt. No, you cannot. You cannot. No. 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 When we get to your name, sir. When you get to your name.
You do not have privilege of the floor at this point. Please continue, ma'am. You have 30 seconds left.
Sorry, ma'am. I apologize.
Do you need a minute? Do you need a second to? Okay, go ahead.
How can you guarantee that you guys are going to manage this place for the next 50 years?
Because that's what we do.
Yes, but is it in writing, in stone?
Yeah, we'll sign a management
agreement. It's in stone.
Yep.
I want to see that.
Okay, thank you. Mary Brumball, no questions? Kosila Patel?
No comment.
No comment. Roman from Sal?
No comment.
Okay. Thank you. Chris DeJoseph? Could you come in, please? Because we can't, you're kind of in that void there.
The traffic study that was supposedly done, was it done while SUNY Poly was in session?
Yes. Yeah, it would have been, who's familiar with the traffic study?
Our traffic counts were done on May 29th, 2025.
School's out.
We compared the volumes to the traffic study that was done previously, December 7th of 2023, and those volumes compared favorably, and we made adjustments to account for that.
Okay. All right. So. Okay. John Demko? John Demko?
Demko.
No, it's definitely Demko. Okay. Scott LaCorwick Jr.
I just have one question. I'm sorry,
Are you John or are you Scott?
Scott.
He's Scott. Okay. Yep.
When I read the original notice, it said that we weren't going to. It was really just supposed to talk about the building or the structural. And my question is, when can we talk about everything else we're not supposed to talk about? And what will that be?
No, that's tonight.
That is tonight.
Yeah, you can.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I was getting misinformation about something. I would have brought more. I guess it's. I'm starting to learn more and more. I'm a little late to the game, and what I'm seeing here is this is turning into a. And I will have more facts about it. I know the whole story. This is kind of turning into a good old boys club development. It's kind of follow the money. My first question, who owns the land that's being sold?
That would be...
It's public information. It's going to, obviously, the price that it's going to be sold for will also be public information. Yeah.
That is owned by the ARNC Development Group.
Yeah, we have
and there's multiple partners.
To purchase this portion of the site. I can't speak for the other portion.
Okay. And, you know, it's really... Obviously, the town board has the ability to stop this. I wish we could have brought others in to hear some of the businesses that are located to similar buildings of this, that have the same type of residence and were developed in the same manner where they receive funds, and actually hearing what happened to these businesses. And I think that's very important because this is real life information and these people do exist in our community. Granted, it's not Deerfield. It's Utica. It's Barrack Street. Barrack Street's decimated. It's not close to what it was. The businesses, their values have dropped in half, maybe even more. I have two individuals that would happily come and speak to everybody to let them know what that did to their values, because the same thing could happen to our homes. And I hope everyone's right. I hope, especially, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. I hope you're right. And if this does go through, and it happens, let's all hope that that scenario, we're not going to have crime. It's really, it's people that need the housing. And I hope that's it. If it does go through, I'll be the first one to look at it very positively. But if it does happen, then we have to hold the people accountable that pushed us through. And that's where I ask everyone in the room is to remember this, because we have the option to not take the chance. If we do, okay. But everyone, please remember that. And in the next election, we need to change it to make sure this doesn't happen again. So.
Okay. Are you all set, Scott? Yeah. Okay, Mark and Diana Springdelosi.
Yes, that's me. That's me. So I have a couple questions and that piggybacks on some of them. The first question is, this is not a done deal, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay, so who's going to decide the stamp that says yes, go through with it?
Okay, we, as the planning board, we will make the determination on the site plan application. And then in our zoning, we also have another article where we recommend to the town board a final decision. So the town board will have the final input from us and take whatever that input is and apply it how they see fit before a final permit is issued.
Okay, so part two then is, what is going to determine your thumbs up or thumbs down? Whether you say to the planning board, we're a go for it, or we're deciding against it.
Okay.
Is it the representation of the people in your town, or is it just the board that's going to decide? Is your decision going to reflect the majority of your town voice? Because you're here to serve your town, right? Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Are you set?
Okay,
so again, under the site plan review process, and I think I've said this a couple times, that deals with the nuts and bolts aspect of the project. We've had Al Swerzik, our engineer, advising us. That looks at infrastructure, building, all stormwater, traffic. So that is our determination. We look at the information to decide whether they meet that standard as spelled out in Article 16 in the zoning. To make the determination.
So your determination isn't so much if it benefits the town, it's just if the board says, we can get all the money, we can own the land, we can get all the people in place, and we can make that happen. That's the only decision that's going to affect your decision.
As far as Article 16, Article 13 gives us the ability to recommend to the town board, we have a little more leeway there, and we can. That's when we can take in the comments here and make recommendations through
okay.
Article 13.
But even if you go back to our 16, is that the first?
Correct.
16. No one's forcing you to accept this, correct?
It becomes a matter of have. In the application process, have they met the standards to have the application pass? They have the plans, the drawings, the engineer's comments. As long as they meet the standard and everything is passed through, I think we have letters from DEC, we have DOT, any of the involved agencies that we had in the seeker process that have commented. If everything an iconic planning is signed off on this, they approve the project.
But
that kind of
still, I'm asking at a different level. I'm not saying that all of the plans that people have presented to you couldn't work. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they're doing it all over the place. I'm asking you if no one is forcing you to say yes, we want this. Who's going to say yes, we want this?
Again, we look at the information, and then
I feel like you're kind of stepping past my question.
But what I'm trying to explain is we'll make a determination on 16, on Article 16, and whether or not they meet the criteria, and then we have another phase in this process where we make the recommendations to the town board. The town board will ultimately have the final say.
Okay, then I guess that leads me to another question. Will this decision be made before the next election?
We're hoping, if we can get all the information together, we're hoping to make a determination in October.
So before the election?
Yes.
Yes.
So none of this is going to matter if they want to do it for the election.
4 minutes.
Our board doesn't count.
Presented to the board by
okay.
October.
I mean, that's what you're saying. It seems like you have a lot of people. Are you finished? No.
No, okay.
I feel like you have a lot of people that, and listen, whether you watch the website or not, it is, the onus is on us to be aware of what's going on in our town. I accept that. But you have so many people that are pausing and asking you to stop and take, you know, our opinions into consideration. That I would feel like, even if you can't have a vote at the next, you know, put it, who have, I'm not that intelligent with elections, but someone said to have that, vote on it. Can you do, okay, maybe you can't make it as through a law, but there's got to be a way to poll your people in this town and say, who wants it? I'm sure there's a lot of people that want it. I would like to see senior housing. I'm not opposed to a project there. I just would like to see it
I'm sorry, five minutes.
Seniors. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Mark Sperdulosi Jr. No comment.
I just have a question.
Hang on, no.
I just have a question. You said blanketly stated that.
Sir, did you sign up already?
Yes, yeah,
call my name. Blanketly stated that the Deerfield Fire Department doesn't have a problem with this project at all. And I just heard you say it about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah,
I don't understand how they, are they buying the ladder truck? Because they don't have.
No, it would come through mutual aid.
Who has a ladder truck?
Marcy.
So are we going to pay more mutual aid now?
Please don't interrupt.
So Marcy's going to handle that?
Yeah, it would go through, this has been a recurring topic at all the meetings, and we've answered this time and again. The fire department is good. They've also given the engineers plan, you know, additions to the plans to make sure
that. I've also heard through that the project's already been, plans have already been sent out to contractors in the area, and they have them on their desks to build this project already.
That I can't speak to.
So how, I mean, if nobody in this room passed it and gave it to the town board, why are their plans out into the community for contracts?
If they're not approved and they're not permitted, they wouldn't get a permit. So
I can speak to that too. A part of our process with development is we partner with a pre-selected general contractor. So we start with very preliminary design plans. So maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 pieces of paper. What their value is to go out to market so we know how much the project will cost as the design evolves to the point where it is today, where it's for site plan approval purposes.
Okay,
John Asino.
Yeah, so, boy, there's just so much. There was a car accident right up here the other day.
Yeah.
It hit the ditch, flipped over 4 times. It was about 10 minutes before the fire department got there. 10 minutes. I thought that was a bit extreme. Troopers finally got there too. No sheriffs. Maybe they weren't called, I don't know. I'd like to hear how from them directly. You know, they say that they're obligated to cover, I think was the terminology used.
Mm-hmm.
They're obligated to cover. Yeah, that's great, but how well of a job can they do? How good of a job can they do, whatever? Secondly, that's only part of it. There's a lot of stuff that goes on up here in the North End. Again, I've seen one sheriff 3 months, 4 months, maybe. I think we're stretched now as it is. Can you imagine the county saying that they're not obligated to cover? Again, how well you can do a job and being obligated are two different things. So I think there's a big stretch to what they're obligated to do and what somebody can do. Can you imagine that kid sat on the side of the road? I'm glad I was home for, like I said, maybe 10 minutes. I don't want to talk about that. I don't understand. There's just so much that's wrong. the fact that you guys have criteria, it's all you're interested in, a certain criteria being met. Once that criteria is met, then it's up to the town board. It would be great to get this information done before that election. And I would love to see that happen because I'd like to know which way we're going to go with it. Sorry, my voice is
take your time.
I have so much. This is so many unanswered questions. And this isn't a debate thing. It's just a comment session. So I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Stephanie Montescalli?
Yes. Just to kind of recap, and I know some of you have heard it already, so I apologize if I sound like a broken record, but I had grown up in low-income housing. I grew up poor. And so, no, I don't think of poor people as bad people. However, I couldn't wait to escape that environment. I've had firsthand experiences of it. And, you know, yes, a single mother and kids, but what about the boyfriend who's not on the lease? He comes in and lives there. And, you know, there's so many things. My husband and I started dating. We rented an apartment in East Utica because we couldn't afford Deerfield. Then we bought a home in North Utica, lived there for 11 years because we couldn't afford Deerfield. Finally, we were able to find our forever home, or so we thought. Now my husband's wanting to move. And it's just so frustrating. It's such a defeating feeling to feel like I came from overpopulated schools. I did not want that for my children. And I provided that. I reached my goal. And now it feels like I'm just back at square one. And, you know, I got an incredible interest rate, you know, back when the mortgage, you know, and I don't want to leave that. But at the same time, I can foresee the future. And yes, there is some good, but there are so many bad qualities. Look at Park Edge and look at how many calls there are. Mm-hmm. You can look for yourself. Drive down there tonight. Drive through there and you'll see. Okay, and that's just one of them. Now I have questions. The screening process, from what I understand through this grant, it's more of like a lottery. You can't cherry pick your tenants, is that correct?
What do you mean by cherry pick?
So if they meet the guidelines for income, you can't say you're more favorable of a tenant because you're a senior or because you're a veteran. It's just income is the only qualifier.
No, income is not the only qualifier. So okay. We screen for income and suitability. So okay. We have a process with our developments where the lottery system comes into play. We do community outreach. So in the case of this development, we've been having conversations with the Veterans Outreach Center. We've also had some conversations with the Resource Center for Independent Living. So basically organizations that will know who is in need of housing, whether it's a senior or a veteran, and they'll apply to us. We create an interest list. And then when we're ready to actually lease the units, we do a screening of not just income, but also suitability. So we look at their rental history, their background, you know, whether it's, you know, we are not successful by leasing the building to quote unquote criminals. That's not what we do. It's not what we intend to do with this development.
Right. No, I understand. But now answer me this. If a sex offender applies, do you have the ability to say no?
Yes, absolutely.
You do. Okay. My last question is this. I read that during the construction process, you can be tax exempt for up to 3 years. Is that correct?
No, so the project itself will pay property taxes. There's a sales tax exemption for construction materials. So to the conversation earlier about the cost of producing these types of units, that's something that has evolved to decrease the price.
Okay. And lastly, this is kind of more for the board. I understand the global housing crisis and so forth. What is the benefit for Deerfield homeowners? What is our benefit for this? Because I truthfully can't think of one.
It would be, would we get on taxes? We're looking at trying to get
the... So would, if you build single-family homes, that would also add...
Right, but there's been no, that property's been vacant for so long, there's been no interest over there. Now you have something that could possibly spur some development and get the whole project off the ground.
But that sounds like a very temporary...
Okay, we're...
That sounds like, it's looking through a temporary lens, that there may not be interest right now, but a developer could come, next year and want to build a whole neighborhood, such as Ramblewood, and that would add a significant amount to the tax base.
Right.
Whereas this could, potentially be destroying our town. Why take that chance?
All right. That was 5 minutes?
I know there's a lot of focus on the affordable housing component. Again, we're adding a child care center.
Quiet, please.
I want to articulate so people understand that the child care center is open to the community. So you had mentioned you're a parent. That would be a benefit to you. You have another option for child care.
Okay. The next person is Jamie Elderbrom.
I just kind of got brought in to loop on what's going on. I'm a mom. I'm busy. We have sports. We have school. We have work. We are busy. A lot of us, I don't think, could come tonight because a lot of us are at kids' sporting events. So I'm just concerned about, does the good outweigh the bad? There's going to be people that are going to take advantage of it. I did the numbers from him over there earlier at home. You said it has to be 30%, 50%, and 60%. So how does a tenant become a tenant? Like, what do I have to pass to be a tenant from an income standpoint?
Yeah, so they submit their income verification. It's about 12 weeks of income history, and then that's vetted by both a past Stone staff person at Past Stone Management Corporation, as well as a third party service that also verifies tenants and properties all over the state to ensure that their income meets the guidelines set by the state.
Okay, so this project was to help elderly get housing. Are they going to be able to even live here if they wanted to?
Yeah, so my grandmother, she's 85. She makes $1,800 a month of Social Security. She has no other income. She would qualify for a unit because she meets the requirements for that.
So, like I said, there is good, there is bad, but does the good outweigh the bad? I'm here for a reason, for small schools. Knowing that they decreased 300 students, I'm like, woohoo, yay! More attention to my kids growing up. That's what I want as a parent. That's why I chose to live here. So I just hope that the planning board in the town takes people like us into consideration that sought Deer Field House to live in because of the quiet small community that we have here.
Okay. Okay, the next, Jamie, are you done? Okay. Charles and Marjorie Dugay?
Nothing at this time.
Okay. You're welcome. Michelle Broadbent? Broadstat?
Oh, no comment, thanks.
Okay. Okay, Ron Bisak?
Yes, just a couple quick questions. The representatives from Paso, have you been out to the site location where you intend to build?
Our development team has been to the site.
No. Have you purchased the location?
No.
The other thing is, my main concern is for the children. I understand there could be upwards of 65 children, you told me, or representatives from your organization told me. Please go out there and look around. The overpass has no protective fencing over it, okay? The road is a 55 mile an hour road where they probably do 65, maybe better, okay? Those are factors. And what is there gonna be for those kids to do on 6 acres when that building and parking lot, the retention pond, and whatever else is on that property takes up space. What are your plans for the kids? Seeing that we're all worried about low-income people, you're putting them on a highway. How concerned are we about these people if you're putting them on a highway?
I know you've a lot of people have expressed this concern. I don't know.
And there's been no means?
Yeah, that's a tough one to answer. Ron, did you have more?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, Noreen Bisak?
I really don't have much to say. I would like to just say this. I keep hearing that the zoning board makes their decision based on black and white facts. That's what you make your decision on, and you have to, and I understand that. But when does common sense and the human factor come in here? That's my question.
Well, that
the gray area, you talk about the gray area in kids or people trying to cross from 12 to get to Walmart. Those are all facts. I stated at the town meeting, they built that bridge down in Utica because multiple people got hit on Route 12 crossing, even though there were street lights, traffic lights. We don't have any of that. There's nowhere to cross. You're either going to cross way up on Mullaney or you're going to go way down to 49. They're right there. They're not going to do that. They're going to cross that road. It's going to be a problem. So again, yes, this drainage is great, and the town doesn't have to maintain the roads and all of that, but there has to be a point where the human factor comes in. Does this make sense?
And
how does it benefit us? Yes, we could build something there. Sure, build all day long, but is it beneficial to anyone? It's not to the residents of this town, it's for certain.
Okay, and again, the interesting thing about our zoning is we have an Article 13 that allows the planning board to make recommendations to the town board, and these are the kind of things that can go into that recommendation in Article 13.
The
personal part.
Okay. And I just hope that all of you are listening to these very valid concerns that all of these people came out here tonight away from their families and things that I'm sure they would rather be doing. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because sometimes I feel like this is falling on deaf ears. This is already a decision that's been made. And that's very extremely frustrating.
Well, that's not. I'm sorry if that seems that way. That's not the case at all. So, okay. Are you set?
I am.
Okay, John Lehman.
Yes, I got a few questions. Number one was we're talking about the board here. I want to know where the town board is. Why aren't they listening to all of us talk instead of just the planning board? Because they're the ones that are going to make the final decision, I guess, correct?
Correct, yep.
All right, so why aren't they listening to what we have to say as a whole instead of just five individuals that maybe already have their minds set on what's going to happen?
Right. Okay, I think...
That was one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not. I'm not really looking for an answer on that.
Okay.
It would have been nice if they were here to listen to us. There was a question or a statement made about the... You guys are maintenance property, or property maintenance people. What standard of property maintenance do you maintain? I've seen property maintenance where it's been so low, the places are disgusting. I used to own a business, and I used to sell to these places, and they were literally disgusting. So what's to keep this property from falling apart or going into shambles? You know, what level of maintenance do you provide? You know, is this going to be maintained to be, you know, pristine as it was when it was first built? Or is it going to deteriorate and become an eyesore to our community?
Yeah, so we have a rigorous structure. So, and there's some, we speak to it in the FAQ, but we will have full-time staffing at the site. We also have a unit inspection process where we inspect the units on a timely basis so we can take care of any issues. We also have third-party vendors, so things like landscaping, things that you would see from the outside are taken care of with snow removal. We also have extermination services, all of those things that you would expect in someone's house. So we hold people accountable to the standard. We also do management internally, so we're not removed from the development. It's still a Pathstone managed development. We've also had conversations with the town about having ongoing inspections. We also have inspections from third parties that come and visit our developments, and you know, we take care of our issues.
I know you said also that you had many properties throughout New York. I'm not sure where. Are there any near upstate New York around this area?
Yeah, most of our developments are in upstate New York. So we operate about, I believe, 62 developments and about 2,500 units. So our closest development, I believe, is in Glens Falls, and it's a it was a family development similar to this.
All right, now there was another question that was, or a statement that was made about one person per room, but then it jumped to, well, we'll allow up to two people per room. Well, that just doubled your capacity.
Right, so as Joshua articulated, we look, we have a property management software, and what it does is it shows across our portfolio how many people occupy a specific bedroom type. So in this case, we looked at ones, twos, and threes, and we found that within our portfolio, there's an average of one person per bedroom. That being said, there, we also have occupancy guidelines. So for instance, many of our developments have a waiting list before they're even constructed. So some of the two bedroom units may have two children in a bedroom or things of that nature. So we would expect, given the volume of our portfolio, that we would have around 100 people, but we don't want to, you know, we want to err on the side of caution and say that, to, you know, parents may have multiple children in a bedroom. It's just not common with our portfolio.
Okay. Now, another thing I was
wondering. One more minute. Go ahead.
I wasn't talking most of the time. What about policing the tenants as far as maintaining? Somebody made a comment about, okay, what if they're a single mother's in there, now her boyfriend moves in with another child. You know, if they exceed the capacity for that room, do they get evicted?
Yeah, we're like any other landlord. So we
well, I was a landlord for quite a while. Right. And believe me, I know what it's like to try to evict somebody. It takes an act of Congress to get somebody out.
Right, and that's not, that's, the, so we shouldn't be judged against a global court system, right?
It's, no, not a global, so I'm talking about right here in the right. area, I own properties, and it was ridiculous.
Right, so
try to get
we,
somebody out.
So what
right,
I can say,
I only have a little bit of time since yeah. I'm getting cut off here. We're talking about the amount of kids that could be there, the class sizes in the schools. Mm-hmm. All right, you're saying that there could be 62 kids, roughly, ages from 0 to 18 years old. You can't determine how many that's going to affect our local Deerfield school. Some of them may be high school, some may be junior high or senior high. But the ramifications of having excessive amount of kids going to Deerfield school is going to really put a damper on the education process for our community. You know, a lot of people have already mentioned that this is an area we moved to. I've lived here my whole life. This is an area we moved to raise our kids to make sure that they have a good way of life. And if we end up with too many kids in the classes, they don't have enough time for kids, teachers, that means new teachers, that means more taxes, that means everything. It's a snowball effect. All right, just mention that.
Okay, right. That, you're at 6 minutes time.
Really?
Yeah.
He talked more time than I did. I still have a few more things. Can I just go a couple more?
No.
Any questions? Right now?
Okay. Next person is Michael Nasser.
Hey, give me the questions. Take your time.
Oh, I like the time. Okay.
And these presidents, you know, they said they're constantly covered from here to out of the lake. I don't know what's that.
All right, yeah, so my name is Michael Nasser. I lived in the town of Deerfield.
Quiet, please.
Excuse me. I lived here for many years. I have to admit, I did not grow up poor, so I don't really understand these problems. I think your speech was wonderful. I really do. I didn't think anybody would come up and say something like that. But I don't understand that side of the coin, because I live in Utica now, and there's a lot of housing projects there. And I drive by, and they all look like they're not taken care of on the outside. So who knows what's going on the inside. So I hope you're right. But I'm scared of what's going on. Because I was looking over here at this this beautiful piece of art, and it looks like a country town. It is a country town. It's a beautiful place to live. And I don't see any big housing projects on there. So, you know, I'm a little confused as to how this is in Deerfield, how this is happening. Look at everybody in this small room. So it's hard to believe this is happening in a place that I grew up. I'll ask some of his questions. Police presence. So we don't have, obviously there's no Deerfield police. What's gonna happen? We're just gonna rely on the sheriff? Is that it?
Yep. Sheriffs, okay. Troopers.
There's a territory that I was questioning.
Please.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm concerned about that as well, because unfortunately, I think, you know, maybe some of the people that don't have the highest paying jobs, maybe they sometimes dabble in drugs, and, you know, that brings crime, unfortunately. It is against the law to do drugs, even though I have props on marijuana, but, you know, it's just, I don't want the problems in Deerfield. I don't think a lot of people do. So once again, I hope you're right. Police is the problem. The fire department, we have volunteer firemen. I'm sure they do a great job. I'm really sure I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't run into a burning building. But if this is a much larger building, how are they going to take care of that? If, God forbid, something bad happens. So there's so many concerns here. And this guy, I can't really read his writing, but anything else?
Section 8,
yeah, everyone's been telling me. You know, I live in North Utica now. Somebody's coming around with a petition, because I live close by. It's North Utica. It's very close to us. A few months ago, this person comes by. She actually works for the sheriff's department. So she says, knocks on my door, says, you got to sign this petition. I said, what is this for? Said, you know, they're going to have a housing project in Deerfield. I said, really? Deerfield? And she's like, yeah, and there's going to be crime, and there's going to be a lot of bad stuff. You got to sign it. So I signed it. Like, I don't, you know, I just wanted to stay on her good side. She's law enforcement, so I just, you know, I couldn't believe it. Is that really, like you say, you own other properties, right? What's the crime rate? Are there a lot of calls for help? Do you have statistics on that?
We have statistics. I don't know how relevant they are. So,
I want people to be housed. There's a huge housing problem in Utica, which is just, you know, 10 minutes down the road. I see homeless people everywhere. I feel very sorry for them. Very sorry. I wish there was something I could do. I guess this is going to solve it, but we're worried about crime. We're worried about crime is the problem, unfortunately. So that is a huge concern of mine, and I think everyone else here. So those are important statistics to have. They really are. And I'm probably getting close to my 5 minutes. But
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I would die scared 5 o'clock and past dinner time if one of those boyfriends from county jail goes there and we don't have clean lights.
Please.
I would die. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess crime is a huge concern, and the fire department, because, you know, the volunteers, we don't have a paid department. So thank you for listening to all that.
Okay. Thank you.
And I hope you really take our concerns into consideration.
Thank you, Michael. Okay, Roman Vostoyevich?
Yes. When is the property anticipated to be purchased?
At construction closing.
How soon do we have
We're hoping to have a closing happen in the spring of 2026.
That's when the project will probably start?
Yes.
And what kind of heating system are you guys planning to have? Oil or gas?
So this will be electric. I believe it's called a variable refrigerant flow system. So air source heat pumps.
Oh, okay. You say you have other units in Glens Falls that have a child care center with them too?
No, those particular units do not have a child care center.
So what we brought to the table here, this part of the state is actually recognized as a child care desert. So we have developed mixed use projects, and we incorporate things like child care centers, offices for the aging, something that not just benefits potential residents, but the community. So the data says, and this is a little bit aged, but only 1 in 13 children are able to get licensed daycare in this area. So we're bringing 80 slots of child care, which will benefit the community.
So I wonder if that's called, what's the name of that property? What's the name?
It's like
the one about, is it, it's that's called Housing Authority?
No, it's called Sisson Reserve.
Sisson?
Sisson, S-I-S-S-O-N.
Reserve?
Yes.
Do you have any other units with childcare around, or with a childcare center?
Our most recent with a childcare center would be this one. We also did a development nearby the city of Rochester. We partnered with Eastman Kodak, and we put in a variety of different residential units similar to this project, and also a child care center on the site.
How does that work, the child care, how does that work?
It's great. So the business owner actually is expanding, and she's a small business owner, so it's mutually beneficial because it allowed her to scale her business.
Who's this child care? Who will be funding it? Is it private or?
Child care is, so we have funding for the like bricks and mortar.
Right.
The child care operations will be funded by private pay.
What
Okay. Michael Collins?
Most of the things have already been touched on that I really had concerns about. First thing, a lot of you people asked about elected positions, and Patty stated these are all appointed. The council people are voted in, these people are all appointed, so it really doesn't make a difference what the next election is. Public safety is one of the things that I had a big concern about. I mean, I see one sheriff, one trooper, and probably nothing else with miles and miles and miles in between. I know a few of the state troopers, like everybody else, they run probably here from Old Forge and back. Response time to any type of emergency or domestic violence, anything like that is gonna be slim to none. One of the gentlemen spoke in regards to, West Utica, which I'm very, very familiar with, and that's a lot, the gold mill. They advertised that place like it was going to be the Taj Mahal, which it was when it was first constructed. And nothing about Section 8, nothing about that. Income base, anywhere from $90,000 down to $10,000 or $15,000. If you look at the norm or the most of it's all income based. It's Section 8 housing in there. There are hundreds of calls at that place on a weekly basis, hundreds of calls. Varick Street, like the gentleman said earlier, is basically wiped right out. The businesses, they're all for sale, and nobody wants to buy these businesses. Everybody up here moved into Deerfield for the same reason. They call it the bedroom community. We moved up here to be in the country. I grew up in a village in New York Hills. They reach out and, call my neighbors here. I wanted out of that. Moved up here in 97, been happy ever since, never had any problems. Something like this, moving in this general area, 6 acres, like the other gentleman said, for nothing for these kids to do outside of that 6 acre box, there's not gonna be $65,000 in tax revenue divided by 65 units. That's like 13 houses in the town of Deerfield. At $5,000 annually for people's property taxes. And this type of housing that is gonna be there is unfortunately gonna bring, and again, to Austin's, I don't look down on those people. I don't look down on them all, but there's gonna be nothing for these people to do. They're gonna be wandering in different places. there's going to be problems, there's going to be concerns, and there's going to be, nobody's going to be able to do anything for them. The other question that was asked for the people, the other question was asked is, what does, how does this benefit Deerfield? $65,000 in taxes does absolutely nothing for this town. We need more housing, or senior housing, or we need businesses to bring in tax base, such as Marcy. There is land to do that. Nobody's ever really done it. You go on Horatio Street, you got 3-4 businesses, Stephen Swan area. It's the only places that generate any income tax for the town of Deerfield. If anything went there, it should be senior housing or build something else that's going to generate some income for the town of Deerfield.
Thank you. Deb Collins?
No.
Oh, okay. Deb Burke.
Oh, I do have one question.
Oh, okay.
So I know that you said that there's an application process and low income VA. I want to know where, like, are you going to offer to Oneida County residents before you pull them from the city? Or does that not matter? Because I know how they pulled to fill the house. The gold mill down in West Utica, they actually went down to the city, hit Brooklyn, and mailed it out to all the low-income residents down there, and that's what filled that gold mill in West Utica.
Right. So our process is to look and partner with community agencies first. The lottery system is open to anyone who wants to apply.
So anyone in New York State, basically, or?
No, we wouldn't, so there's a primary market area, you know, what I would say simply reality, right? Like someone from 500 miles away isn't likely to be interested in a unit. But, so we partner
Please.
With, as I said, we do referral agreements with local organizations. I think I've covered this, so agree to disagree.
Okay. Deb, any more questions? Any more questions?
No.
No, okay. Deborah Burke?
No.
I know she's here. Deb? She's Burke? Here. Oh, there you are. I'm looking back here.
I'm just, I echo the concerns of everybody that's said here. I'm half a mile from where this project's going up, and you know, Deerfield is a rural town. Look at our logo, you know, there's deer on it and things like that. And people come here because it's a rural town. And this is the worst case scenario that we can have. It's nothing prejudice against anybody's status or race or ethnicity or anything like that. It's just all the things that have been stated here tonight. And I think this is something that we can't just take lightly, and we shouldn't. And this is a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And there's plenty of examples of other towns denying projects because it doesn't fit the town. So that needs to seriously be considered by everybody in this room and all the people that live here.
Thank you. Okay. Lucille Soldado.
I'm going to echo the same thing that many others have already said, and I'm going to talk about safety again. In your brochure, in the paper that is out, you talk about that I'm open enough to take care of stuff. That's wonderful. That's great, because Deerfield only moved here 30 years ago, had no daycare to speak of. So that's great. My question would be, you're saying it's going to be private pay, or is it going to be subsidy? Subsidy being Oneida County subsidizes is based on the amount of money they receive every year from the state. If they don't receive enough money and they can't come to us, then they start reducing the number of applications they take. And there's a waiting list, number one. Number two, you talk about transportation. You mentioned, I believe it's Holloride. Can you explain that to me with Centro? Because all I'm picturing is a single mom walking with children trying to get a bus over by the Bank of Utica, or I'm sorry, the Bank of America, and trying to get to where she needs to go. like to the pharmacy, like to a doctor appointment, like getting groceries. How is that going to happen? Could you explain that?
Yeah, I think it's, Bethany may chime in on the bus, and we can chime in on how many folks typically have vehicles with the child care center. So they're in, we're leasing this to another organization because child care is what they do. So that's not our forte. In our conversations, and I believe some of their representatives came here to a prior meeting, so their model is to provide up to 80 slots of specific age groups of children. So everything from school-aged infants, maybe older, what you would expect a parent to need for child care. The private pay model, they bill the parent and the parent pays. There's no arrangement with a government agency that I'm aware of.
I would almost, I can pretty much guarantee you that every child care provider in Oneida County accepts subsidy payments. In order to survive. There's very few people that don't. But I'm also interested now in the dialogue. Can you explain that?
I can explain this up. I got you. So we reached out to Centro Bus System. They expressed that because our driveway is coming out of a private road, they will not be willing. We offered to put in a bus stop there. They did not want to accept that. Instead, they call a bus ride service. Our parking lot is laid out such that if there were a bus to come in there, there's enough turning radius for it to be able to be suited. Essentially, it's primarily used for those that have ADA accessibility.
Okay. So again, we're going back to the fact that there is no transportation per se. How do we're talking a population that many have cars and many don't. So if someone moves into your building, they find a job, wonderful. How do they get to that job? They don't get a vehicle. They don't. Okay. And then when we start talking about does everybody get their groceries delivered? Is that how that's going to work? Is that the thought process? If they don't have a vehicle? Or are children going to be running across to Dollar General and crossing over a highway to get something that their mom might need? This is a safety issue. And the first time I heard that you were going to be located in that parcel, I was astounded. I said, it doesn't make any sense. No sense. There's no services. There's nothing. Why would you be putting this up there? I simply don't understand the logic of it at all.
Lucille, are you done? Are you done? Okay, thank you. Rick Gassner?
I want to talk about taxes. Pastone has evaluated the taxes of the normal usual taxes. I don't know what the website says. They also could use this pilot program, the payment in lieu of taxes. You know you guys are going to do that?
No. We're using what's called a 581A yes. Evaluation. It's called the income approach.
But it says also on the website, it says, a pilot of tax abatement could influence the real estate tax, and a pilot would technically override 581A legislation if favorable. 581 could be revoked at any time during the life cycle. I mean, that's what you were saying on your thing.
Yeah, we would have to seek approval from the town for a pilot, so I wouldn't anticipate that the town would act on inducing a pilot that would lower their tax revenue.
Well, what I would like to do is ask for a worst case evaluation. You know, back when I was working there, we always did the worst case evaluation on anything. And if they did use a pilot, they could go down the taxes here, annual payments in lieu of taxes, developers make annual service charges known as pilot payments. These payments are typical lower than standard property taxes, enhancing the developers' net income. and encouraging further investment. Duration and structure agreements can last from 10 to 30 years. So I would like an evaluation of the taxes, you know, if the pilot program was put in place. Also, the Deerfield apartments here are mixed use and multi-family development, between 65 units. It says the units comprise 19 one-bedroom, 27 two-bedroom, and 19 three-bedroom, all offered at rates earning up to 80% of the area of median income, which we mentioned before is 89,000 is the income, and 80% is 71,000. But actually, if we read further in there, in the stuff, they could use this other low-income housing credit program. And that is 60%. That's why somebody mentioned 60%. And I was wondering if, you know, what if people earn more than 60%? Do you give them a room?
Yeah, so there's initial income guidelines, and as folks live in the unit, they, if they're, so the hope is that they become more self-sufficient, right? That's a part of our mission. As their income increases, they continue to occupy the unit. So these initial income limits only apply should the household move out again, at which time the unit is marketed.
Well, they say a three-bedroom here for $73,160. Can he move in? This guy that comes up that's earning $73,000, move into a three-bedroom?
That's the 80% limit.
No, it's 60%.
No, the 60% limit would be $59,000 for a three-bedroom. I'm not sure what information you're looking at.
I was looking at like the same one that this guy looked at on the Fannie Mae income table. That's where the income, the 80% is 71,200.
Okay, so that's the 80% unit, but the units are 30, 50, and 60, so someone would have to make the 60% unit 60% amount or less, and 80%, someone at 80% would be over income. They would not qualify.
He could not move in.
No, they'd be over income.
Then actually, we probably should change some of your information that you're giving out there.
Is it Omega County income or Deerfield? It goes on a count. It's a metropolitan statistical area, so it encompasses, I think, all of United County. But they kind of, they're not. It's not just a county. The Census Bureau determines what they consider a statistical area.
But why would it be low? This other low income thing, 60%. Where does that take you back?
Whatever the 60% income limit is the income limit. Yeah. So it's about 89,000 is the 100% income. So 60% of that is
53,400.
Yes. So that would be the limit. Yeah.
So there's two bedrooms there. They say for 63,600, would people not be able to go in there?
Done. Yeah, so when you look at one thing.
Go ahead. I'll let you into this part of it.
So one thing, our income limits take effect when the construction is completed. So when you look at everything from inflation to housing costs, the data that we pull from, typically the income limits increase. So this is a snapshot of where they're at now. When we get to 2026 or 2027, we have historically seen income limits increase. So we can say who would qualify right now, but in the future, it may be different. It may be higher income earning folks.
Mr. Gassner, you're at time. Thank you.
Your time is up, sir.
Okay, Joe Mazzarana.
He says he's good.
Okay, he's good. Caspiro Felder?
Chris.
Hey.
Sorry, it might be me.
Crouson Circle?
Even if it's not me, I'll take it.
Okay.
So I apologize in advance. I missed the last meeting due to work obligation. So do you know how many residents we have currently in Deerfield? I was trying to find that line, but I had some different metrics. I was pulling up.
You know.
I think it's about 5,000.
I saw 3,900. Saw a little bit more, and then I saw one that said like 14,000. I think that was over exaggerated.
Oh yeah, that's
well,
yeah.
So
4,200. 4,200. Okay. Perfect. So I guess for me at the last meeting, which I appreciated, we talked a lot about the engineering design phase, right? So conceptual design phase, there was a couple engineers on the board, preliminary final. We talked about safety, security, fire rescue, instructor, DOT. To me, it sounds like you're all doing a lot of the feasibility studies and then performing analysis on that data to make recommendations. There's a nice document back here. I think someone printed it out. I think we want to share it with you all. One question I had specifically for law enforcement, these numbers, and you all have to cross-reference some, but I think it's pretty accurate. January 23rd, May 25th, Country Gardens had 329 calls in North Utica. Park Edge, 47. Rutgers Street, 385. Adrian Terrace, 673. Gilmore Village, South Utica, 500. Off Global Mill, 500. So if we add those together, 2,400 spanning 3 years, average that out to the average year, it's 270 calls. So my question would be, my vehicles have broken multiple times. Five individuals going around, smashing windows, breaking in, Ramblewood individuals. We have two individuals, I think a trooper and one sheriff maybe, that monitor our area. They can't do it all, right? We had a sheriff here representing them previously. We also had a volunteer fire department member here previously saying, we don't have the support, we can't do that, right? I don't know, and I'd be curious to see, maybe you all have that data if you're reviewing it, right? But for each one of these, how could you possibly imagine with that uptick in individuals, we could possibly support all this? It's gonna drain somewhere, right? Whether it's infrastructure drain, fire rescue drain, safety, security, etc. So I guess the first question I would have asked if I participated in the law is what percentage of the population that we just discussed is requesting this? So in the initial requirement phase, how many townsfolk here are asking for this? Right? I don't think we have that. The next question I would be, if we're actually gonna do this right, now I know you all have a lot invested in this, but why not solicit the town to see what ideas, options, and infrastructure or things we have available, right? So for me personally, this may not resonate with all, but I would like an accelerate facility we're gonna use, that's like a sport complex in the Hartford area, right? That will generate a lot of revenue, providing a lot to our current population, kids, et cetera. But I guess I don't have the answers to those questions. I don't think I saw it in the documentation that I reviewed. But again, I would just say, we have the opportunity to still do this, right? You have the opportunity to solicit the input, collect the data, you're all doing analysis on it. And then in particular, you all have properties that you currently manage. I'd like to know the current state of those, see pictures of those, and see what they look like after X years, 5 years, 10 years. Was your longest standing employee? Y'all have a 15-year contract for support. Who is your representative for that? And then maybe one individual that we currently have from Deerfield, from the volunteer fire department, from police force, to come here and review the data with you all and see what they think.
30 seconds.
Cool.
30 seconds.
Right.
Okay. Mike Antonovich?
Pardon me, ma'am. I know I'm at time. I was just wondering if anyone up there had any comments to provide that.
So we've given, and I'm not sure if it's posted on the website, we've given examples of developments, pictures, exterior, interior. I think with respect to crime data, that's not something that, like, would we ask this, just to play devil's advocate, if we were developing market rate housing, would that be a requirement?
I would prefer to see your management consulting agency.
Yeah, I want to make sure that we're providing information that's relevant.
I think relevancy for housing and what you're doing in the past portfolio would be, you know, what I would do.
Right.
And just really quick, I just paused my time with that last time, so I'll get a few more seconds there. But I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Then Mike Antonovich. Mike?
Yep. My name's Mike, and I grew up here in Deerfield. And subsequently, when I bought my first home, I could not buy in Deerfield, couldn't afford it. Lived in Utica for 14 years, lived in a great neighborhood. I still saw a lot of crime and a lot of things that I did not want to raise my child in that neighborhood. So my wife and I said, where should we move to? And we said, well, she grew up in Sequoia and grew up in Deerfield. So we looked at both of those areas. I don't see one of these things going at this point. And I would say that's a very similar type of town to Deerfield in many ways. It just doesn't fit. But we were lucky enough to find a home here in Deerfield, which we consider our forever home. And this is just not something I was coming back to Deerfield for. I know many people in this room and used to attend a lot of board meetings when I was a little kid. With my parents, when they had concerns about things, Laura for many years, and I second, her idea about the senior housing. I'm not against the project, but just this isn't the type of project that I don't think it belongs in Deerfield. As far as the childcare aspect of it goes, I'm sure many of you have been in and around the C Street area, North Utica area, places where there's maybe some of this affordable housing. And you can't go 100 feet without smelling somebody smoking marijuana. Now, a lot of people do it for medicinal purposes, recreational purposes. I don't have a problem with it, but I don't want to smell like it, and I certainly don't want to smell my kid coming home like that. There is no chance I would ever send my child to that daycare center in affordable housing complex. There's just no way. As far as the representation goes for the town of Deerfield, I'm sure some people around, I don't know all of my council people. I don't know everybody by name. So I don't know if everyone's here. But I thought in our society, people are elected to, for the will of the people. You have to not do what's best for yourself or for the short-term gains, but you do what the people want you to do. You are a representative of the people. So I'm not really sure why there's even a question, because there's a few people here that want this type of thing, but it seems like most of them all have some sort of tie to the project or someone who is involved with the project. So I'm not really sure how this seems to be getting as far as it is, but again, this is just a public hearing, but I definitely am not for it. I just think there's better places to put it, maybe that are closer to facilities and closer to grocery stores. I don't see that as being a good option for putting something there when there's obviously limits. And there are going to be people walking across Route 12. I don't care who says there aren't. They do it all the time on Route 12, even though the bridge is still there. And I have many times at night had to slam on the brakes and just to avoid hitting someone. And there's a bridge 10 feet they could walk down the street and cross safely. It's kids, adults. It's just not, it's not something we need in this town. And I just really think it's not a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I've gone through the list. Is there anybody else who didn't have their name on the sign-in sheet that would like to speak?
I'm Eric Beaton. I have a question. I kind of came late to the party, so I believe there's $12 million that the state is investing in this project. Is that correct?
Yes, we've secured financing from the state.
Okay. I'm affiliated with a senior park that for 40 years it was a senior park. Roughly 6 years ago, the state stepped in, and they had no investment in that park except for collecting all the taxes. They stepped in and said, it's no longer a senior park. You have to accept everybody. I believe that this is what's going to happen in the state. It's the same thing as the solar park. I believe Deerfield shot it down. The state stepped in and said, it's going in, whether you like it or not. That's not true.
I think there is another.
Was
the board
didn't
say that they did
solar.
That was a vote from the board.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
The
board.
The board voted on it, yes.
Yes, the board.
Sherman
voted
on it. This plan
board voted on it.
Sherman voted on it. Our board voted on it.
Yeah, it was a travesty, too. Okay, so you say you have control of who comes in.
That's correct.
Well, I don't believe that. I think when the state has $12 million invested, I think they're going to step in and they're going to think it.
And also on the website, okay, it says that you don't discriminate and you encourage rehabilitation for people coming out of prisons and so forth. So where would the sex offenders come? That would be discrimination. So how would you say that you would say absolutely not to that?
Because there's a suitability process. So again, Pathstone has about, just so people understand the context, so what we do is real estate development. Pathstone as a whole, we operate in 9 different states, also in Puerto Rico. We do direct services. So we do services in that arena, but that is not related to this project, nor do we intend to have that type of dynamic.
So you're affiliated, okay. You're one of the same company.
No, actually we're not.
You're not.
So Pathstone Development Corporation is not Pathstone Corporation. We're a separate development company.
I'm sorry. Is there somebody else that hasn't had a chance yet? To answer a question.
Can I take my husband's 5 minutes? I don't even need 5 minutes, really. I just have some questions.
Can I take my husband's 5 minutes?
No.
Let her finish and then go to her.
Okay, let's
no
give.
One else has,
okay,
no one else has anything
all right.
else.
All right, let's do Stephanie. Let's give her like another 2 minutes, and we'll give you another 2 or 3 minutes. And then we're not going to repeat.
Yeah,
we're not.
I just wondered what your official name was, so I could just do more research because I thought it was just Pathstone. So what is that? I'm sorry.
So it's Pathstone Development Corporation.
And you're out of Rochester, or is that the
other? Our corporate headquarters is in Rochester.
Okay.
Stephanie, are you done?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
I'm Jason.
Jason, nice to meet you, Jason. You seem like a very honest guy, and I believe what you are telling us is true and factual. Are you the Better Business Group? That we can look up your corporation and see what you're really doing?
Yeah, so I'm not sure how we're listed, but I know we're listed with all the various regulators and things of that nature that a not-for-profit would be. So
can you give us a list of those regulators that we can go to rough and see what they're
doing? Yeah, we do a lot of transparency on our website, so there's things like tax filings, listing of our boards of directors, and things of that nature. So what I can share my contact information, and if you give me some specifics, I plan to share.
Okay. Is there anybody else who has not had a chance to ask a question? Who has not had a chance that would like to ask a question that was not on the sign-up sheet? No.
I was on the sign-up sheet, but I didn't ask my question.
Okay, so you didn't ask a question. Okay, go ahead.
Was this project brought to you, or they submitted an application?
Correct.
So you have to do your due process here. This is your job. So I think, I think that it would be unreasonable for somebody to think that you should just not even you know, look at this project. It wasn't like you solicited it.
Correct.
You know, that came to you, you're doing your due process. It has to go through all of this procedure. So I think it's unreasonable to expect you to just say, no, we're not going to do this at all just because everyone doesn't like it.
Correct.
This is the part you have to go through.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Who hasn't had a chance? Okay. Do we have any comments from any of the board members? Our attorney?
Could these pictures be uploaded and where are the other buildings there that they can look at?
Yeah, we'll send that information. So I know there was some file size limitations,
yeah,
but we'll resend it.
Okay, very good.
So somebody on our website could look up and see what they look at.
Okay. 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 Can I have a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll do it.
Okay, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you for coming, everybody.